Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, you know Esprit.net News is a weekly news wrap-up show. It's where you get all the news you need to know in just one setting. And as my girl Lucy Abreu says, hey, Lucy, if you're listening, it is all the news that you, gosh, I already forgot it. The news that you can use, that's all I want to say. All right, I want to welcome you again onto the show. Now, I want to say hey to everyone who attended to the New York State Fair, and I know it's been a hot day today. So, you know, actually, while I was out there, it kind of has me a little winded for running back to do the show, but, you know, we are going to carry on. I just want to say hey to everyone who's on the line. And those people who are tuning in. Now, on this program, you know, first of all, there's a lot of things in the news that I guess I should talk about. But I will talk about the Puerto Rican death toll numbers. We'll talk about that officially is higher. And we'll talk about, Aretha Franklin that we didn't talk about last time. Sloane Stephens is in the U.S. Open. She had something to say about their new facility. And North Carolina is redrawing their congressional maps. We have that. And also, you know, we have some courthouse news that we're going to talk about. So that and much more. But I want to thank you again for tuning in. Our number is 909-265-9189. If you're listening in the archives or you're online and you want to come on to the show, you can always dial in and check us out just by dialing that number. All right, now, our first story, you know, before I start, this week has been kind of a big week in Black history. So, you know, this week in history, you know, today is the 30th, but on the 28th, just August 28th in 1955, Emmett Till was killed. August 28, 1963, the March on Washington. August 28, 2008, President Barack Obama accepted the nomination from the Democratic nomination for president. And this year on August 28th, you know, Florida nominated their first Democratic representative to run for, to have the Democratic nomination for governor in Florida, Andrew Gillum, and Sean Shaw for attorney general in Florida. Two more Black history notes on that. And also, you know, of course, I was doing it for the week, but, you know, yesterday was the birthday of the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson. He would have been 60 yesterday. So just wanted to kind of start off the show with a quick moment of history for you. I just want to say to everyone listening, sometimes we do that, and Black History Month is just not in February. So I wanted to start off the show with that. Now, oh, by the way, you know, with it being Michael Jackson's 60th birthday yesterday would have been, it was revealed that the gross earnings since his death, since he's passed away, since his death, has exceeded $900 million. So he still is the only person that has, I'm guessing, but I think there's five or six albums that sold more than 30 million copies. So even though they're spreading rumors of somebody has outsold Michael Jackson with a greatest hits album, sold more than Thriller, Thriller is not a greatest hits album. It just has a lot of great hits on it. So there you go. And after that, he did exceed $900 million is what his gross earnings to his estate is. All right. Now, speaking of people who passed, you know, hundreds of Aretha Franklin fans slept on sidewalks overnight outside of a Detroit museum in preparation to pay their respects to the legendary singer who died from pancreatic cancer at age 76 on August 16th. Her body arrived at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History in Detroit, Michigan, her hometown, on Tuesday morning for the start of the two-day public viewing, and Franklin was transported to the museum in a 1936 white LaSalle, passing by as many as hundreds of fans who slept on the sidewalk and were already lined up amongst the first to pay their respects to the singer. That's according to the Detroit Free Press. While many fans hailed from Detroit, others had traveled from around the country for the opportunity to see Franklin while lying in state at the museum. Now, the Wright Museum previously hosted a similar public viewing of civil rights icon Rosa Parks after she passed. So, you know, Aretha Franklin is getting her royal treatment, and, you know, as a queen in Detroit, so want to shout that out and make sure that I said that. I know we started, we talked about this before with Aretha Franklin passing, but, you know, it is still going on. And actually her services is tomorrow. Now, Puerto Rico on Tuesday raised their official death toll from Hurricane Maria to 2,975 people. Now, that's a dramatic increase from the previous figures of, get this, 64. That was the previous figures. And almost a year after the huge storm devastated the island, the declared death toll was changed for the first time since December, following a publication of new research by George Washington University's Milken Institute of School of Public Health. Puerto Rico's governor raised the number after that independent study found that it had been severely undercounted. That's kind of the obvious, right? 64 to 2,975. Now, the newly accepted figure is, however, still an estimate. So the figure can still be higher, but Puerto Rico has revised their numbers. That's what they say. Now, you know, in passing news, you know, since the I'm trying to be very respectful for this one, but since John McCain has passed, you know, we are seeing a lot of that in the news, so I feel like I probably should talk about this, but I'm not going to talk about it from the angle that everybody else is going to talk about it. Of course, I just want to give you a sense of who John McCain was. So there's always two sides to the story. So John McCain tried to orchestrate the sale of Oak Flat, which is an Apache holy site in Arizona's Tonto National Forest, to a foreign mining company, or mining conglomerates. It was two of them. That's according to the Huffington Post. Now, a site where, you know, the Apaches would gather food and medicine or medicinal plants and host dances and healing ceremonies. So the land also had great historical significance because it served as a prison of war camp during the Apaches' first fight against the U.S. in Mexico. So Oak Flats also serves as a place of remembrance for Apache leaders, as well as a holy site for the people that occupied it. Now, McCain tried to slide the sale of that land into a bill, which is ironic, considering that 26 years earlier, McCain was one of the strongest, supporters to preserve the sites or different sites like Oak Flats. So John McCain, as people, try to paraphrase or try to give us some kind of sense of who John McCain was. John McCain was not everybody's friend. So I just wanted to make sure we kind of submitted that on this program as well, that he has really fought against some things that had to do with civil rights. He was not a friend to black folks. He was not a friend to Native Americans. Nobody's being disparaging because he passed, but we need to be conscious of that when someone, he passed. So we're going to be respectful of that. But at the same time, we're not going to be fools, although he passed. Now, some people wrote on Twitter, remember when Pound John McCain wanted to take water from the Navajo Nation, a nation where 40% of our population did not have access to clean water, running water, and he said that we chased him off into a car, and he got an emergency flight out because he feared for his life. And another person wrote, today I'm told that we should pretend that John McCain didn't pick Sarah Palin as a running mate for 2008. So he did that as a stunt, and we all now have Trump because of it, but that was John McCain. So I know he does not want to be remembered as that, but sorry, it came from someplace. And so John McCain, yeah, he has military service and all of those other things. He also, said some nasty things about a lot of people. And I really like the fact that, I shouldn't say like it, but it's an amusing that people are saying things like John McCain was a handful and he did curse out and said inappropriate jokes and cursed like a sailor, because he was a sailor. And nobody's really calling him to task for it. It's really interesting that everybody gets to ignore it. But anyway, there you have it. There was my only John McCain news, because, unless you want to talk about it, so want to kind of open up the floor. And I know, the commish is on tap, so if you want to say something, hit one on your line and you can come in at any time. But that is all I have for him. Now, a former Vatican representative said that Pope Francis knew about the sexual abuse allegations against Archbishop Theodore McCarran, and he calls out the pontiff to resign. And he said that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano is calling for Pope Francis to resign in a letter that he wrote the Pope because he knew about the sex allegations. So there we have that as well. Now, white farmers tried to offload land in South Africa before it was seized from them from the government. But the government already started grabbing its first two hunting reserves without paying. So if somebody from South Africa calls you and said that they have some land that they want to sell you, you probably don't want to buy it. I just want to say that for the record. Commiss, I see you on the line. So if you want to come in, hit one. I can't. I just kind of glanced at the board. You can come in at any time. But just wanted to put that out there. Also, again, you're listening to EsperyNet News. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. I don't know why I'm missing it. I'm messing that up today. Now, also, you know, a new study by economists says that it was the cheap and accessible guns and not crack, that crack epidemic that drove up violence or violent murders in the 90s. So this new research reveals that the influx of cheap handguns led to the 90s murder boom, not crack, not the crack cocaine epidemic, as previously speculated. Now, here's my thing. I think we kind of knew that, but it's funny, like, they just want to set the record straight that it wasn't crack. Of course, it's because everybody has guns. I think we're kind of going through that right now. But, yeah, it was not the guns. It was pretty much, it was not the drugs. It was the guns that kill people, not the drugs that killed them. Now, if you have not heard the story, you know, Jemele Hill from ESPN is out. Jemele Hill, she will have her $2.5 million contract bought out by ESPN, but they said that the departure was amicable. That's all I have on that. No other words. She didn't really say anything about it. She didn't really take to Twitter or anything, but, you know, she had a previous suspension for calling Trump a white supremacist and a bigot. That's it. But she didn't back down from it. So shout out to Jemele Hill for actually, you know, standing your ground. But she actually really did, you know, kind of became a hero in all of that stuff. So shout out to Jemele Hill. I don't know why I'm stumbling over Jemele Hill, but I just wanted to make sure I shout her out. Now, again, Kamish, I'm kind of looking at the board. Didn't see you hit one on your line, so we're just going to keep going if you don't want to come in on this. I didn't want to just open your mic, so whenever you're ready. Okay, now, Sony has denied admitting that three of the songs on Michael Jackson's first posthumous album were actually sung by an impersonator. Now, no one has conceded that Michael Jackson did not sing the songs, is what Sony Music is saying in a statement that they released last Friday. Now, the album was met with criticism from a group of diehard fans, including the Catherine Jackson, his mother, who claimed that some of the tracks featured vocals that weren't his. Now, it was reported earlier this week that Sony Music had conceded in court that there was some truth to their suspicion, but the songs had been provided in good faith. So I don't really know what that means. They were provided in good faith, but we don't know who sang them, but we know that it appeared to be Michael, but we're not sure. We don't know what they're saying here. But, you know, it is Michael's birthday, so they're probably going to release another box set of fake Michael Jackson songs. But they're saying they got him in good faith, but they're not vouching for it being Michael. I don't really understand that story either. If you're lost, just remember I'm lost with you. Now, Dr. Michael Holick's enthusiasm for vitamin C can be fairly described as extreme. Now, the Boston University physician, who perhaps more than anyone else is responsible for creating the billion-dollar vitamin D sales and testing juggernaut, it elevated his own levels of stuff with supplements and fortified milk. So he was the person, through his studies, had people putting vitamin D in milk. Now, Holick's role for drafting a national vitamin D guidelines and embracing embrace of his message by mainstream doctors and wellness gurus alike have helped push that supplement to sales of $936 million in 2017. That's a nine-fold increase over the previous decade. Now, lab tests for vitamin D deficiency have spiked too. Doctors order more than 10 million tests for Medicare patients in 2016. That's up 547% since 2007 at a cost of $365 million. Now, this is according to the Kaiser Health News investigation that found that he has used his prominent position in the medical community to promote practices that financially benefited corporations that gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, that's including drug makers, indoor tanning industry, and one of the country's largest commercial labs. Now, he has described tanning beds, which the International Agency for Research on Cancer has since classified as a carcinogen. He said that it's a recommended source for vitamin D when used in moderation. So that was according to his study. And, you know, we all know that it causes cancer, but he says it gives you more. He tells you it gives you vitamin D if you use it in moderation. So there you have it. So for people who are taking a lot of vitamin D supplements, get some. I'm not giving you any medical advice, but, you know, plants have a lot of vitamin D, nettle leaf, you know, things like that. You can get vitamin D in plants, so you don't have to take the supplements if you don't want to. Go ask your pharmacist or your holistic doctor. They'll tell you. Now, AAA study shows that ride-hailing services, you know, like Uber and Lyft, twice as much yearly as owning a vehicle. Now, AAA said that using a ride-hail service as a primary mode of transportation works out to be far more expensive than owning a car, even with fuel, insurance, and parking considered. So if you are enjoying your app and enjoy calling for a ride when you don't need it, might as well buy a car. That's according to AAA, not me. Now, more than 2 million T-Mobile users are hit by a data breach that exposed names, billing addresses, and phone numbers to hackers. T-Mobile has revealed that it suffered that data breach this week, which exposed the personal information of 2 million customers. And names and addresses were exposed, but they said that no payment data. So that is, they're out. There was no payment data found, but I mean taken, but your name and addresses were. I don't know what to say about this. Now, the first uncensored swastikas appeared in a video game in Germany as the country lifts its 20-year ban on the swastika. Now, German gamers will see the presence of the swastika and other Nazi-era references uncensored for the first time after a 20-year ban has been overturned this month. Now, I don't know which gaming companies, video game companies, are rushing to put those symbols on their games, but apparently there are a couple. So, but that ban has been lifted in Germany. In happier news, well, I don't know if this is happier, but Kroger is going to phase out plastic bags at all of his grocery stores across the country by 2025 after revealing it gives about $6 billion every year. Now, Kroger orders about 6 billion bags each year and plans to be plastic bag free of all of its nearly 2,800 stores by 2025. So if you go to Kroger, I guess I shouldn't say save the bags, but they're going to stop selling those bags or giving out those bags in a bit. They didn't say where they were starting, by the way. We just know that this is what they're reporting. Now, cyber criminals are using Facebook Messenger to trick people into opening malicious links and to harvest personal data. is what the FBI is now warning. Now, the Portland office of the FBI in Oregon has issued a warning about hackers using Facebook Messenger as a vehicle to deceive users into clicking on those links. So if you get a message in Facebook on Messenger, do not click on it from somebody you don't know. Matter of fact, don't click on any links on Facebook. Just wanted to put that out. If you want to cut and paste it and put it in a different browser, do that. In Facebook, it's going to expose all your data if it's a virus or if it's from a hacker. Now, Google has been hit with a lawsuit that alleges that the firm violated user privacy by tracking their movements. Now, the plaintiff is seeking a class action status on behalf of U.S. Android and iPhone users. Google has admitted that it tracks users' location history even after they turn off their location sharing. The search engine revised a help page that erroneously described how its location history settings work. So although you can go there and turn off your settings, you still can be tracked by Google. Just want to put that out there. Since we're doing Facebook news, we might as well talk about them too. All right. Now, Olympic champion Simone Biles wore a striking teal-colored garment in solidarity with the victims of the sex scandal by their team doctor, Larry Nassar, who was the former USA team physician. Now, she won last week her fifth U.S. women gymnastic title in Boston last week. She explained that she had designed the leotard for the survivors of the sexual abuse in that group, including her. She was a victim as well. But more than that, you know, not more than that, but Simone Biles hit another record by becoming she won her fifth consecutive. She just didn't win five. She won her fifth consecutive. So, you know, she is still getting ready, and hopefully she does go on to the Olympics and do it again. But Simone is still out there killing them. No, shouldn't say it that way. But Dr. Larry Nassar, who is the person who victimized all of these girls in USA Gymnastics, he was attacked by inmates at a high-security prison in May, almost immediately after he was released into general population of prisoners. That's at the U.S. Penitentiary in Arizona. He has been moved to another prison, but soon as he was released into general population, he was attacked. So there you have it. That's all I have on that guy. Now, a former Texas doctor who raped a heavily sedated patient in a hospital gets no jail time following a recommendation from a jury. So he was convicted of raping a patient known as Laura while she was heavily sedated in 2013. He was sentenced to just 10 years probation, but he will have to register as a sex offender. So there's no good news in that story. So I just wanted to put that out there. 10 years as a sex offender, but he gets no jail time for raping somebody unconscious. Now, speechwriter Darren Beatty has been terminated from the White House after he admitted that he gave a speech at a white nationalist conference in 2016. He said he gave the speech, but he didn't spew any hatred in his speech. It was a speech about something else. And I guess he didn't know it was a white nationalist conference, but he still was fired and let go from the White House. I don't, you know, there's a whole lot more white supremacists in there, so they can probably try to take them out too. We don't know how this is going to go down. But anyway, just doing the news. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to EsriNet News. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. This is our weekly news summary show. You know, I didn't put any Aretha Franklin music on the board, which I should have done because I meant to do that before. So, you know, I would have taken a break and played a little bit of her music, but I am not going to take a break because I didn't put any music on the board. But just wanted to, you know, show respect for Aretha. And I have the music for it. Okay. Sorry about that. Now, former Trump campaign manager or campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was found guilty of 8 counts of financial crimes last week. I know it seems like it was like a year ago. They have so much trauma going on. And the jury was deadlocked on another 10 counts. And it was one person who kept the verdict from being kept the verdict from being guilty on all 18 counts. Now, this juror, Paula Duncan, told Fox News, which is not news, that she's a mother of two from Missouri, an avid Trump supporter. She said behind closed doors, tempers flared as they clashed over whether he was guilty or not. It was a very emotionally charged room, and there were some tears. But she said her devotion to Trump left her feeling conflicted, but she was persuaded by the prosecutor's arguments, and four boxes full of evidence they presented in court, finding that he was guilty, was hard for her, but she wanted him, because she wanted him to be innocent. She said, I really wanted him to be innocent, but he wasn't. So she said that the part of the juror, that's the part of a juror, is that you have to do diligence and deliberate and look at evidence and come up with an informed, intelligent decision, and she did. Now, she was making the circuit, and a lot of people were quoting her. It's probably why I'm doing the story, because I want to say this. They are harping on the fact that she was a Donald Trump supporter, and she voted him guilty. So I want to say this to anybody who thinks that that's brave of her. She had no choice. And in fairness, that if somebody is guilty, they're guilty. There was just way too much evidence. But the other juror apparently held out. That's why there was only 10. And Mueller's team, the Southern District, who was prosecuting Manafort in that case, has filed for an extension, a 30-day extension. They had till Wednesday to decide if they were going to retry him. But they filed for an extension to decide if they wanted to retry him on the other 8 counts that the one holdout held out on. So we'll see how this goes, and we'll keep you up to date on any, you know, changes in the Manafort case. Now, Trump has been playing Aerosmith, Living on the Edge, at his recent rallies, but the lead singer, Tyler, I can't even think of his first name. Yeah, forget his first name. The lead singer of Aerosmith hit out at Trump, saying that his music is for causes, not for political campaigns. So they're asking those folks not to use, Steven Tyler is asking them not to use Aerosmith's Living on the Edge for his rallies. I don't know, he had a rally today. I don't know if he played it, but don't do it. Now, Trump's ex-doorman may release more documents related to his $30,000 of hush money, his contract with the National Enquirer, that bought his silence after he claimed that the president had an illegitimate child with a housekeeper. So his doorman said that he may reveal more details and documents about this illegitimate child with a housekeeper. This is what his lawyer is saying. So it's not the doorman. So this is going to get a whole lot uglier before it actually gets any better for those guys in the White House. Just wanted to kind of also put that out there, because I know people want to protect him, but it is about to go down, especially if he fires who he wants to fire. Now, a Democrat running against the indicted GOP incumbent Duncan Hunter I guess he's, his father is a Palestinian militant, like his grandfather is, who he never met. Now, he's the Democrat, Duncan Hunter, and he's disavowing his grandfather because that his grandfather is a Palestinian militant. So, you know, Duncan Hunter is the GOP guy who was arrested on corruption charges. That's who he's running against. So if I'm running against somebody who just got indicted, I am not going to disavow anybody in my family. But he did, ironically or not. The Democrat did come out to denounce a relative. It is very different on the Republican side than it is on the Democratic side. Republicans do anything they want. Democrats always feel like they're apologizing. You know. All right. Now, NBC threatened to smear Ronan Farrow if he kept pursuing the Harvey Weinstein case, is what sources are claiming. Now, as a producer, accused the network of blocking a report on him. Sources claim that NBC News General Counsel Susan Weiner called and threatened Farrell. Now, this should be getting kind of interesting because now they're trying to cover up for her. They're trying to cover up for him. So it's interesting to kind of watch this Harvey Weinstein thing pan out. Now, Donald Trump canceled January pay raises for 2.1 million federal employees, claiming that the increase would be inappropriate. Now, Congress added that to the budget, and Congress got a raise. So some of the people are still going to get their raise, but because the national budget can't support it, is what he's saying, and it would add billions to the deficit, Trump just added trillion to the deficit by giving the tax breaks, but now he want to cut the federal employees' raise. So we'll see how that's going to work out. Now, a high school wrestling coach who was 25 is captured and arrested for abducting a 16-year-old girl after they ran away together when their romantic relationship was discovered. So, you know, I guess he's from Arizona, and the sheriff's office said that they received an anonymous tip about 1 a.m. on Thursday that led to Philip Magalia and Alexis Anderson being found in a home in Stockton. So it is we have another one of those cases. You know, I don't, you know, I have a lot of cases on the show, but it's weird to me that we're still doing these cases. Now, elementary school teacher 22 was arrested for having sex with a 17-year-old boy after police were called to her home while she was arguing with her husband about the alleged affair. So officers were called to Isabella Bowman's home in Cottonwood, Arizona, last week after being notified of the argument that was later revealed to be about her relationship with a 17-year-old. Okay, now a volunteer track coach, 41, is arrested after she was caught having sex with one of her students, 17, by his father. Now, Erica Beverly Oxford, 41, slept with a 17-year-old student that she helped coach at Fort Zumwalt East High School in Missouri. Just need to tell you where these places are. Now, a California teacher is charged with sleeping, a 26-year-old California teacher is charged with sleeping with a 14-year-old male student on a trip to Washington, D.C. So Jackie Nicole Muller, 26, was arrested at the Hyatt Place in Washington, D.C. on May 9th. She was in his hotel room. Okay. Now, a priest who's 69 is accused of molesting three teenage boys and stealing $800,000 from his church has gone missing. Now, officials at St. Celia Catholic Church in Oak Cliff, Texas, reportedly believe that the reverend retreated to his native, the Philippines, to escape the investigation into the allegations. So, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. Now, Dwayne Johnson won 40. This is not The Rock, by the way. He's 46. Won $289 million in a landmark verdict against the agrochemical giant Monsanto, who is speaking out for the first time. Johnson, a married father of two, doesn't have long to live and has been diagnosed with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a cancer that starts in the white blood cells. He was diagnosed in August 2014, which has now spread. Now, a jury found that the weed killer Roundup played a large role in causing his cancer. Monsanto plans to appeal the verdict. Of course they did. And the compensation will only be released when this has been heard, meaning that Johnson may not even live to see the payout. However, Johnson said that he is happy about the trial's outcome because he didn't want to die for nothing and make sure that others were warned about the potential danger of using that particular weed killer. So Dwayne Johnson, 46, won his case against Monsanto. Now, a passenger on a Washington, D.C. X2 Metro bus got into a fight with another rider where she yelled the N-word and disembarked the bus. But soon as she got off the bus, she ended up beaten down to the ground. Now, police are trying to piece together what happened and who might have attacked her. Now, an unidentified woman was hospitalized and treated for lacerations to her face and head, but police said that they are talking to two suspects, but no arrests have been made. Now, again, she called somebody the N-word, gets into a fight on the bus, gets beat down, and now they're looking for whoever the person that beat her down. This is where, again, stand your ground. She was aggressive towards somebody and got beat down and then called the police. Just wanted to put that out there. Not condoning violence one way or another. I'm just saying, leave people alone. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, a roof collapsed at a Chicago water treatment plant, trapping two inside and seriously injuring 10. Now, 10 people were seriously injured, two who were still trapped inside, when an explosion caused a section of the roof to collapse at this Chicago water reclamation plant today, is what authorities said. So, just to keep you up on the news on what's going on in the world. Now, a homeless veteran sued a New Jersey couple accused of stealing some of the $400,000 raised for him days after the couple revealed only $150,000 of the donations remain. So what began as a pair of selfless deeds has now led to a legal battle between a Philadelphia homeless man, Johnny Bobbitt, who's 35, and a New Jersey couple, Kate DeClure and Mark DeClure. They raised $400,000 for him, but now they only have $150,000, and they never gave him the money. So, you know, when somebody starts a campaign to raise money for a social media campaign and don't give them the money, right now apparently it's not illegal and those people just took advantage. No. Okay. Now, you know, agents from the Air Force and Homeland Security raided a Florida tomato factory but won't go into specifics as to why. So a U.S. state attorney's office in Miami said that the warrant was carried out for that facility, but search warrants remain sealed and investigation is ongoing. Now, if you don't know this, I can tell you that it is against the law to use the military in civilian law enforcement. It's a law, it's an act that was there since 1878. It prohibits the military from civilian law enforcement. So they raided a factory and maybe they didn't arrest anybody, but the Air Force and Homeland Security. So, you know, there's something to be said about this political administration. Somebody needs to get impeached, and they need to start sending some of those guys to jail who are covering up. Now, Colin Kaepernick's collusion claims will go to trial after the NFL request to dismiss that case was denied. So Colin Kaepernick claimed the NFL owners conspired against him to keep him out of the league since becoming a free agent in 2017. The NFL requested to dismiss was denied by an arbitrator. So instead of going to court, they wanted to go through arbitration, probably pay him off, and then wash their hands of it. But right now, they're saying it was denied. So here we go. Colin Kaepernick, go get your money. Just wanted to put that out there for the record. All right, I just wanted to remind you, you're listening to EspriNet News. Let's go and bring in the commish because, you know, it's about time that we just kind of start to bounce some of this stuff. So, commish, how are you doing? I didn't see you, so I don't know how long you've been been there with
me. Can you hear me?
I'm good. Yes, I can.
Okay. That's good. I am just walking in the house, so if I'm a little noisy, pardon.
Go. Okay.
But I'm glad that they did not I'm really happy that they did not allow them to take that case to arbitration. How happy could that be?
Oh,
just
yeah,
like
you know, they were going to hide that.
Oh, come on. I don't know. All the money they want to pay him off with, they could have just let him play and work for it.
Exactly. But
they
don't want anybody. What are you saying? What'd you say?
I said they know they're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. They didn't want anybody to see this because the court's going to rule or... You know, since we know right now that there's a Supreme Court ruling on this, right? West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett, and the decision from the Supreme Court, this is in 1943, holds that free speech clause of the First Amendment, they're saying it's constitutionally protected, and it protects people from being forced to salute the flag or say the Pledge of Allegiance in public school, which means it doesn't just apply to school, but it just applies across the board. So it was a 6-3 decision, and the court said that if there's any fixed star in our constellation, in our constitutional constellation, it is that no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion, or force citizens to confess by word or act their faith therein. To underscore its decision, the Supreme Court announced that on Flag Day, they said, you do not have to salute the flag or stand for the pledge under any circumstances, and you can't punish anybody for not doing it. So, I know they're scared to go to court because all they have to do is cite that case, and now they're going to have some problems.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting too, Rome, is that this has been something that has been used against black folks, black people in particular, forever. First of all, wasn't it this same flag under which white folks enslaved us and said that we would not be considered fully human, but only 3/5 human? It was the same flag that white men waved on battlegrounds everywhere where they didn't even want us to fight for our country. This is the same flag under which this was all done. And so when soldiers in the military were fighting, losing their lives over the right to be able to fight for their country, even in the Civil War. You know, they were denied. And so now it is a situation where people are saying, okay, yeah, you can't disrespect veterans, you can't disrespect the flag, you can't disrespect this, but it's so hypocritical. But at any rate, I remember being a little girl in school where every morning before the school day started, we had to stand up and put our hands over our hearts, right hand over your heart. If you did your left hand, it was blaspheme, as they were saying, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And then we would have to sing the national anthem. And I remember that we were either still doing this at the time of the Black Panther Party or just definitely around, you know, Dr. King's time and so forth. I was a little girl. And we had to do that before every single school day started. We couldn't pray, but we could stand up and salute the flag. And I recall very clearly Huey P. Newton and all of the Panthers were like, you know, ask the police, ask the flag, after this. We are not, you know, Malcolm, all of them. Well, not Dr. King, but, you know, they were like, forget it. We're not saluting this. The flag does not honor us. We're not honoring the flag. Come on. And I remember being, you know, kids were chastised, thrown out of school, ridiculed, sent to the principal's office, every other kind of thing, if they didn't want to salute the flag. But it was only done to Black children, because when you had Muslims and you had other religions that saying they are not going to put anything above God and all this other kind of stuff, people would be saying, no, we're not standing, we're not saluting, we're not this, we're not that. And the kids that got in trouble were Black children who decide, you know, whose parents were like, look, we're with the Panthers, we're not doing this. And I just recall it being as, like, all my life, this has been an issue. Oh, my God, that person didn't stand up in the stadium when they're singing the national anthem, you know, just all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So they make it something that it's not. They make it something that it's not, because even soldiers are saying, look, you're not disrespecting me if you decide that you want to kneel.
Yeah.
So
I'm
glad
actually,
he hung in there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're glad he what?
I feel really terrible for Colin Kaepernick for what's being done to him, but I am very happy that he stood his ground and, you know, and didn't stop. And even, you know, some of the other players that are saying, look, you can't do this to us, and we're going to kneel, we're going to this, we're going to do whatever we're going to do. And some of the clubs are like, you know, if you're going to charge them fines, we're going to pay them. Those outfits I am happy about and appreciate. I feel very conflicted about folks that are not supporting the athletes that are doing this. You know, because from John Polo in the Olympics and all that has been done to us in sports, sports was really the way that we broke in. You know, that was some of the first places that, you know, Black men and women broke in as far as making change in this country was, you know, starting with the boxing and then the Olympics. And that movie, I know I'm talking quite a bit because I'm very passionate about this, but the movie that I was telling you about that I saw, I think it's 2 years ago now, at Martha's Vineyard, where we looked at the athletes that went over to Russia. Was it Russia or Germany? Germany. And, you know, everybody thought that it was just that one runner, Jesse, who was the only athlete who ran in the Olympics that year. But there were over 18, I think, African-American athletes that went. and they treated them like garbage when they went over there, you know, and then when they came back, they couldn't get jobs, they couldn't get, you know, they just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, and, the, you know, they came back with medals, and the America barely acknowledged them, and then, they, you know, what they had to give up to even go over there. They weren't paid,
right,
and they couldn't play, a lot of them couldn't even play professional sports when they got back, you know, and John Carlos and the other brother that, you know, put their fists up at the Olympics when they were on the podium and how they were chastised as a result of it. So we do have athletes that really, really stand their ground. Muhammad Ali, for God's sake,
right,
he's going to go into Vietnam, and they and put him in jail. But this cat is in the White House, and he wouldn't go, you know, and some of the others that were like, ah, no, 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 I ain't doing that. And they didn't go to jail, and went to the White House. You know, it's just, I'll be so happy when this is over. You know,
like, yeah,
oh, Jesus.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to say it's never going to be over. I would like it to be, but you know how that goes. It'll be one more case, you know, after another. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I'd like for that to be over.
Yeah. That, I was listening to you. I was actually still working, okay? It's hard for a black woman, I'm telling you. But that's why I didn't press one earlier. But I was listening, and I was actually with my assistant. We were literally at work. That's why I was just walking in. Did you talk about the – you talked about the officer that was sentenced to 15 years, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no,
okay.
No, not that one. The one who was sentenced to 15 years for killing – the 15-year-old in Texas, right?
Yes, correct. Uh-huh.
Yes. I think I may have touched. Yeah, I think I did. I think I mentioned that. I'm not
Sean
sure.
King was speaking about that this morning, and, you know, people were saying 15 years, this man committed murder, you know? And
right.
And his point was, yeah, I agree. Absolutely right. But this is landmark and the beginning. So it's more than any other officer has ever received. And they knew, and I think it, you know, it was just over the top because this particular officer had a lot of other, I don't want to say charges, because I don't know if they were charges, but he had a lot of other behaviors that were documented. That let them know that this is a bad seed.
Right.
Is a bad seed. You so they should be able to take a civil suit against the whole department.
Right.
Wherever he
they
came from.
Be able to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're back in Axum. Okay, so we'll just keep that. We'll keep that to ourselves.
Yeah, we'll have to bring that up on another show. Yeah.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, man. Now, you know, I want to. I know that I was going to save this till later. Oh, well, it is later, so I guess we'll talk about it now. But, you know, I know that you're a big tennis fan, but did you know that Serena won today?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Oh, wait.
So
Wait. Did she play her – she didn't play her sister today. That's tomorrow.
No, she plays her sister tomorrow.
Yes. But, yes, I did know that she won today. Yesterday.
Yes. Yes, she won yesterday. So she said that she would rather have met her later, but she has a third-round showdown with Venus. Serena – was she had 13 aces and 30 winners to record her second consecutive straight set victories at the U.S. Open.
I did not know
that. She wrapped
up
her – yeah, she won in 1 hour and 7 minutes, but now she's playing her sister. You know, there should be a new rule that you should always have your sister in a different bracket. But since
well,
they're
okay.
only talking about
so here's,
Venus and Serena.
Yeah.
What?
Absolutely, I am totally in agreement with you. Sean was there, by the way, to see that match.
Oh, what, did he go? Uh-huh.
Yes, he did. He went, and he said it was amazing to watch. And I love her outfit, too. Shout out to the sister who, you know, they tell you that you can't wear that outfit. You come back with something 10 times as fly. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Look at that. What, off the shoulder. You got on it. But,
man.
I know. It's crazy beautiful. But when they first started out, they were always on opposite sides of the draw, and they would meet each other. But later on in the rounds, right, that's how they ended up playing each other in the finals several times. But it's interesting. There's been a couple times that they met each other early, but I just felt like, I don't know, I just might be in my little conspiracy because I did not examine the draw. But part of this issue has been that when she went out on top, had her baby, and came back, and they put her way behind all these other folks just because she hadn't been playing. So now, based on where they place you in the draw, based on how you fall in your ranking, so they ended up on the same side of the draw, you know. So I don't know. Before I say anything, I'm gonna look at it. I will look at it and see what it is. But the you know, the thing about it is that they're going forward with it. Serena is outspoken enough that if that is the case, she will share it later. You know, once the tournament is over, she'll share it. I hope but she didn't say a word about her outfit. She just took it off and put on this other amazing one.
Hey, you know what? I don't know why the guy, I don't know why that anybody ever picks on women in their clothes, because women can change styles up in a minute. So she was just going to piss them off with something else. So nobody has said anything about the tutu style thing that she had on the first day. But I'm sure she's going to keep pushing the limit on them. So shout out to Serena for doing that after they told her that
she
couldn't wear. Yeah.
Listen, they talked about them so bad, now they're just furious because they can't talk about them like they want to. You know, from the very beginning, they even wanted to say something about the beads. Then they wanted to say something about they didn't say anything about the braids, no. But when they really started the fashion-forward outfit, there was always an issue about that. But even before that, once they became women, Venus and Serena started in tennis as young girls. And once they became women, immediately they began to, I don't want to say ridicule, but insult, shame, body shame them, which is, you know, one of the commercials that she does. But they began body shaming them as soon as they hit puberty and became women, you know, and they talked about, you know, pertinent parts of their bodies that let us know, okay, this is a hit against black women because this is our body. There was not an ounce of fat on her, but she's shaped like a sister, And she has very strong arms. She works out hard, you know, and then they just body shame her. She's no arms. Oh, they look like men. I don't remember anybody ever saying they didn't look feminine, but they said they looked masculine, both of them, Venus and Serena. So, you know, here's what our athletes endure at the top of the game, and they still have to endure this. You never heard any kind of crap about Agassi, who started the whole bandana thing.
Andre Agassi. They didn't change the rules because he was wearing a bandana, right?
Nope.
They didn't say he was gang-related.
Nope. They did. Yeah. Oh gosh, are you kidding? If it had been James.
Oh. I know. Anybody black. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Noah, even, you know, Noah's French, of course.
Oh, Jacqueline Noah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had it been him, had it been anybody black. This young brother that's playing now, I think his name is Donald. It would have been a whole nother ball game. But Agnes came out and did this thing, and this other Raja with his whole pulling his underwear out of his shorts every time before you know, and it's just he's a little eccentric, you know, he's got a little obsessive compulsive behavior happening there, but
did you see I didn't do this story, but you know, did you see the tennis player who changed her shirt? She turned her shirt around, and they gave her a penalty.
Yeah,
she was penalized for taking her top off. She actually made a statement towards the French Federation president for banning Serena Williams' cat food suit, saying that his comments are 10,000 times worse than what happened to me. Like, so everybody made a big deal out of the fact that she took her shirt off, but she had a sports bra on, which you go to the beach and you see women in bikinis all the time, but that was somehow offensive. Since everybody's making an uproar about what happened to her, and then they changed the rule and said that will never happen again, the U.S. Tennis Association, whomever regulates that, said that no woman would ever be fined for doing that, right? They took it off the books. She said it's 10 times worse than what happened to me is what they're doing to Serena, right? For me taking my shirt off and them changing the rules, you should be changing the rules for Serena, is what she was saying.
Well, thank God.
Think we all can agree with that, but...
I didn't know she said that, but it's about time, you know. I was so disappointed, you know, Billie Jean, all these others. I don't even know, did they speak up? They all spoke up for her.
Mm-hmm.
They all spoke up for her. I have to really look, you know, because I only heard that he said no. And the way he spoke about it too is what's so, like, exactly what she's saying. It was so obnoxious. So obnoxious. She didn't have respect for the game or whatever. So she's given her life to this game. You don't have respect for the game.
Yeah,
she has
people given are
her life to this game. Come on.
Yeah.
Her life. And you sell these daggone tickets because she's out there. Beating her brains out on this tennis court. Those tickets for women's tennis is really what's carrying the the USPA, but that's tennis right now.
Right.
Okay, we can name Federer, we can name Roger, we can name Sean was telling me about Eisner. I don't even know who it is. She's like, you don't know Eisner? I was like, I'm sorry, I don't. But if you want to give me all the other men in the top 10 in tennis, I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I can give you the women, and it's not just because they're black. And then Simone, of course, is up there. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, they're just so pissed. Wakanda forever.
I know. Hey, I don't even know what to say about that. We know that black women are, I don't even know how to put this. You know, black women are demonized because women are, I shouldn't say it that way, okay. Because I was going to say women are demonized more than men generally. But black women are demonized if they're not acting like white women. And there still could be demonized, but they're 1,000 times worse. So just like she said, you know, it was 10,000 times worse what they said to Serena, but everybody's up in arms that they said that about her. I mean, that turning her shirt around made the news and made a big fuss, but nobody's really making a fuss about the fact that they can ban an outfit because Serena wore it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what to say about that. Now, oh, you know what? I'm trying to think.
Not even Nike. I didn't even hear Nike say anything.
You know, Nike has put out print ads saying that something like, even if she's not wearing her uniform, she's still a superhero kind of thing. Like, she don't need a cat suit to still be a superhero. Like, they have, they actually put out some ads right after. You know, I can't think of how it's more tasteful than that, but that's essentially what they're saying, that she's still a superhero even if she's not in uniform, you know. So, yeah, they actually came out with two different ones, too. But I think they were print ads. But still, they did say something. So, and they ran another commercial or something as well. So that was cool. Nike did say something. But again, since news can't seem to keep up with it. And Jemele Hill is off the air. You know, we don't have too many people that's going to say anything about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, yeah. You know, I forgot this story, but, you know, what they're saying is respect. It's funny how people do news, but it says, I guess this is editor's issue, respected ex-medical examiner gets 8 years in jail for trading opioids for sex with addicted patients. So a former medical examiner, Joseph Burton, 73, of Atlanta, Georgia, will be jailed for 8 years for trading opioid prescriptions for sex after it was found that he had written more than 1,500 illegitimate prescriptions.
Oh, my goodness.
1,500. They should throw him. I wonder how many people died from him.
Oh, God.
That would be that would be interesting to know, right, if anybody has died from him giving illegal prescriptions. Okay. Now, Now, the National Enquirer's circulation has plummeted since the Trump-friendly tabloid attacked, since they started attacking, like, enemies of Trump. They're saying that they started suppressing, like, his sexual affairs and attacking his enemies, and their sales are plummeting, according to, like, new private financial documents and circulation figures of the tabloid. So even Trump is sinking everybody. That's why the publisher actually, what did he do? He's a cooperating witness now, or whatever he did. He got immunity for something. But he's like, he's not helping my circulation anyway, so I could tell on him. Man. Yeah. He's like, I might as well sell him out.
Oh, my God. But, you know, it's a shame that they hadn't gone out of business before. I can't believe anybody was still buying that crap.
Man. Hey, you know, I didn't mention, you know, what story I didn't do is I don't think I really talked about the Democratic nominee for Florida for governor.
I was going to ask you about that because I didn't hear his name, but I you know, we were going to get there. Even if you had, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Go ahead.
No. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, we had all of these great firsts that happened on August 28th. Like, this week is, like, a big point of Black history. And one of them was Andrew Gilliam's nomination for governor. And that's the only thing I talked about in it. But you know, it's interesting. I didn't know if you heard that part. But, you know, interesting story of what's going on in the world with Gilliam and also Stacey Abrams in Georgia as they secured the nominations for governor as black male and black female. It's just interesting to watch. So I didn't do anything about it, but I didn't say anything about it, but I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I would. I would love to hear your thoughts about it.
Oh, well, my general thought about it is that they should change the paradigm in politics and how Democrats run races, but they won't because by default, white folks will always run races thinking about the least amongst them. So they care who they're – they care that they're not taking support away from someone else. So, for example, whether they're Democrat or Republican, when someone's running for office, what I've found more than not is that the candidate always says, we need to figure out why they don't like us and try to figure out a way to get them to like us. Well, both Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gilliam did not do that. They went after Democrats, and they went up for people who support them, opposed to saying, we need to look for white working class, angry white folks who didn't vote Democrat and try to figure out a way to get them to vote for us. They didn't do that, and they both won. So you think that the Democrats would learn a lesson? They probably won't.
Well, I really thought they'd learn the lesson from the president, and didn't learn that either.
They didn't learn.
And
they made all
sat there and watched it. It happened to her. It happened to her in her face, and she turned around and made the same stupid mistake again.
Well, they made excuses, right? Their excuse was he won because Sarah Palin was so bad on John McCain and. You know, people wanted the first black president, and black people voted unconsciously. And, like, they made excuses instead of understanding that he won because of how he ran. And I don't think that people can get over that. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what happened. He won because of how he ran, not because somebody gave it to him. So,
I
don't think they're going to learn a lesson.
How he ran and he was smart. You know?
Yes.
How he ran.
Yes.
He was smart. He was dedicated to it. He didn't take it for granted.
No, he got it done. He got it done on the ground, though. Remember, the bigger thing about the Democratic Party was that they were all for Hillary.
They were.
And, yes, and so the party, the National Party, really did not support President Obama.
I know.
Until the last minute, until he started bringing out all these new voters. And so what Democrats normally do is, now how do we take those voters and flip them? Just like, you know, what they said about Andrew Gilliam is that Kamala Harris come out, they invited all these people to come support him, and they didn't say a peep to him, didn't come out, didn't support him, didn't do jack. And now they're probably all going to run to him now and be like, let's stick together, like Smokey on Friday. That's pretty much what's going to happen. We in this together, man.
Yeah, now we are, huh? But
yeah.
And you know, it's something that I've really learned. You know, I continue to learn this because President Obama, same thing. And he just did not hold it against any of them, you know. When they came, he accepted them, and you have to. But I feel some kind of way about that. I was here with all the African American leaders, politicians, congressperson, and all these other black Democrats that were so down with the people who did not support President Obama in his run until after he won the primary. They went all the way down to the wire. Until she conceded, in the primary, they would not, they wouldn't support him. And I'm like, come on now, seriously. And you know, I guess their thing was like, oh my God, I can't lose my foot and suppose, because she was in Senator of New York at the time, right? So they're like, mm-hmm. no, we're going down with the Titanic on this one. We don't care who's running.
Yeah, and you know what the sad thing, really sad thing about this, that race was, is that Charlie Rangel, they had a conference call with the coalition from New York State, because New York State was her home state as a senator. And they had a conference call, and they said, Hillary, you have to let us go, which means you have to give us freedom to support him. They asked her in a conference call to concede so that they were free enough to go over to Obama's side. Isn't that sick?
It's
That's probably about the sickest thing you can hear.
It's nauseating.
Yep. Yep, but that's what happened. They said, you have to let us go, was the words that he used. So she was like, okay, go ahead. Do what you need to do.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's
painful. Which is
but they, and they hung in there, too. They were not playing. They're like, look,
they were not
going
go.
Down. No, we're going down with the ship on this one. We don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. They pretty much had to beg her to say, okay, I'm going to drop out. But they had to beg her to do that because they didn't want to jump the gun. It was like she was holding something over their head. I would have been like, you done. There ain't nothing you can do.
But because with everybody else, the party controls the candidate, not the candidate controlling the party. So,
right,
you
but
know.
But that's why Obama had such a hard time, is because the party was supporting her and not him. And then when he was in office, the party was like, oh, we need you to raise money for us. And so since they didn't give him any money and they were giving money to Hillary, now they needed him to act a certain way. And then they were going after white working class people, so they stopped going and keeping Obama's constituents happy. Lose the midterms, Obama comes in, sweeps his butt back in office again, and then they're like, okay, we're good, but we need to distance ourselves from Obama again. And then they distance themselves from him and then lost again in the midterms. So they keep playing this game, and the Democrats, they never learn their lesson. And I don't think they're going to learn it now. So go ahead. No. I was going to say they'll never learn their lesson. It just kind of history keeps repeating itself. But say, what were you going to say?
I was going to say they're only about 5 seconds from from Republican. You know,
yes.
As far as
most of them are anyway.
Exactly. What we really don't need to do anything because you belong to me. Just like Hillary was like, oh, okay, well I'll let you go over to the black church, or I'll let you go over to the whatever, or you want to go out to the store or what? Okay.
Let us go, please. Can we please go support him? And she was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total sellout. And so the thing is that the Democratic Party is like, okay, we've got essentially. The Democratic Party is saying to the African American constituent or cohort, what do you have to lose? Or you really don't have any other choice. Look at them. So you may as well be all over here with us, but please don't think that because you're over here with us that we have to pay you any mind now.
Right.
You know, you may have a little scraps in the back room, but don't go trying to step up to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. So you basically still do what we say do, and we will come when we have to, not a minute before.
Right.
So if we don't want you in, you don't get in. And for those of us who do get in and get in under that type of leadership, we treat the rest of us just like that. It's an assimilation.
Right.
Right.
Sorry. I get it. I mean, it's kind of how we've been existing. So we have to just send out a memo and tell people, you know what? Don't worry about it. You are free, and you can always be free. Don't worry about it. Be free. That's what we have to tell them. Because sometimes it seems like they don't get it, and they feel some kind of way about, what do you call it, health-seeking syndrome. Like they're identifying too closely to their captors.
Yeah.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
They need to let
Gillum,
it go.
So Gillum, mm-hmm. what do we need to do, Jerome? What can we do? Folks are probably saying, "Well, I ain't in Florida, but I'm rooting for you." What can we do? What should we be doing for Andrew Gillum and the sister in Georgia?
Well, hey, you can go to their website and you can donate from any part of the state. On Gillum's website, you can vote. You can donate $3, $5, $10, $20. Hey, give them a little something. Help them out, because you know opposition research is coming down on him. They're going to run millions of dollars worth of ads because they cannot let a black man take Florida. They're going after Florida.
Yes, they are. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They came up in here? They got this far in Florida? What?
Yeah.
Not this state.
Now, they're mad about Georgia, but not as much as they are about Florida. Florida's
no.
a swing state, and, you know, they're thinking, you know, probably Georgia's going to be a blip on the screen. Florida can permanently change for them, and, you know, it is why the guy said the little racist thing that he said, is because they're now starting to dog whistle him, thinking that he's going to turn white folks off at some point. But I think that if it wasn't for, you know, him going against the NRA, which the school shooting family victims are like, we're tired of y'all playing with this. So he has that going for him. The people who are like, we want to get rid of Stand Your Ground, those people are directly behind him. You have all of the displaced people from Puerto Rico who are now living in Florida.
Yeah.
They are like, okay, right? So they're now registered voters. They said almost half of them are registered to vote. Now, we don't know what parties, but we make an assumption that they're mostly Democrat. But even if they're independents, this is a problem when you have a white supremacist running against them. That means he's only going to be able to get white folks who are buying into that, you know, ideology, and then everybody else is going to be on the other side. So it should be interesting.
Oh, yeah. And that's Bush
It's
going to
be
country.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
That's Bush.
It is,
you know,
definitely
Jeff Bush
country.
Was running Florida with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I wonder if Bush is going to come endorse him. No. Where's Jeb when you need him?
He disappeared after he lost the election for president, the primary. When he was running for president. I haven't heard too much from him since then.
Oh, that's right. That's true. I haven't heard too much from him generally. And I think all the Bushes need to go sat down someplace, in the words of my girl Kai. Go just sat down someplace. Because
I think he really, really was shocked that he didn't win. Or fare better.
Yeah. You know what? I want to say this. I did see a little bit of John McCain's services. Joe Biden's speech was... You know, and again, Joe Biden spoke President Obama is going to speak this weekend, that is the only thing that's going to bring in the ratings. And for everything that they need the John McCain story to be for everybody else on the planet, they needed George Bush wasn't going to do it. President Obama is going to bring in the ratings because they know he's going to give great. He's going to do a great speech like he always does. And Joe Biden's was remarkable as well. He did a very good job. And that's
really
what the Democrats miss. Yeah, that's why when people like when people say stuff like Cory Booker and these guys should run, they cannot hold anybody's attention. Joe Biden can. You need to be able to address the nation. And although Trump can't because he's not articulate worth squat, but you need to have a candidate that actually is going to hold attention. I don't care what you say. Elizabeth Warren doesn't do it. Bernie Sanders is kind of quirky and it's still kind of boring. And so you need somebody who's going to be able to keep people's attention. So Democrats would be a little wiser to put somebody out there who can stand there with some stature and status, being that you have a president now or some guy who's there now who is just pretty much illiterate and has ADD and ADHD and has some other things wrong with him.
Were the Clintons there?
No, I don't think so. And Sarah Palin wasn't invited either. Yeah, that's probably
really
good. But no, the family wouldn't invite her. That came out a little bit like late last night that the family actually asked her, or they did not invite Sarah Palin. They didn't want her there. Doesn't that say a lot?
Again,
John McCain was not a fan of black folks or native folks or whatever, but he was like, I don't want them racist people here. I can only go but so far. In the
right.
You're on your own. So.
But it's interesting, too, though, about the Clintons. Bill, I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the other presidents were there, right?
Oh, I don't know who was there. I just remember his speech. I didn't really watch the whole thing. But I did watch live Vice President Biden, because apparently they were good friends, which again says something about Joe Biden and says something about the fact that even though we're advocating as people of color generally and we're trying to change the paradigm, even your really good European friend still feels kinship to the people who are trying to oppress you. That still says something. Right. It doesn't mean that you can't be cordial, but apparently they have some common ground that is not that probably won't be conducive to our longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying Joe Biden gets down with any kind of racist stuff. I don't believe that. I'm just saying he still has to tolerate the fact that there are people who are going against our well-being, and he's still okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But anyway, thought I'd share that part.
It makes me think that also think a little bit about his relationship with President Obama, because the family wanted him there. Not only wanted him there, but wanted him to speak. So it's you know, whatever his situation was, there was something happening for him where he recognized right is just right. Smart is just smart. Good is just good. And these are the fellows that I want, these are the guys I want with me. These are my boys, the ones, the real ones. Don't send none of them clowns up in here. Talk about me, my body.
Right. Don't bring them in here. We don't need them.
Don't bring them in here. And I just, I know you know the answer, but I just want to say it one more time that I think is telling. I don't know. I guess, is it over? Is it, are they, you said over the weekend. They're speaking over the weekend.
close to speaking. Oh, yes, President Obama. That ceremony is Saturday, I think.
Saturday, okay. So
yeah.
maybe Bill Clinton is speaking.
Maybe he's going to be at that one, because that one's they're flying his body to they flew it to D.C. today, so he's going to be in the rotunda, like lying in state at the Capitol. So he's going to have a ceremony, or his service is going to be at the National Cathedral. I think I can't think of what it's called.
Oh, wonderful!
But
mm-hmm.
President Obama is speaking there.
Okay.
I think they're going to try to slip in Mike Pence and those guys, but I don't think they're going to speak, because they can't hold a candle to President Obama. They better all sit down and stay in the back.
Yeah.
Or they're going to get embarrassed.
Very, very much so. Very much.
And
so.
You know, one of the things that Biden said, you know, you would think that they didn't invite Sarah Palin because those guys can't give a speech worth squat. Only thing they can do is rallies. And so they didn't want them really talking politics. But Joe Biden did talk politics while he was there. And he did take some shots at them. You know, he was just pretty much saying, you know, John McCain at least believed in bipartisanship. Like, he believed that there's times that he crossed over and he talked to us when, you know, his own party didn't like it. He said the Senate's going to miss that because there's none of that going on now. And he said this environment is not good for democracy. It's not good for anything that we stand for or people fought and died for. So he actually kind of went off on that a little bit. But it was interesting. He didn't make mention.
You would have to, though, you know, because he was...
Can't ignore it.
You can't.
Although John McCain was not a very nice person, so we can't
mm-hmm.
forget that he wasn't a nice person. But, you know, and it's funny how they made light of the fact that he cursed people out at the drop of a dime, used foul language, but they were like, he was just colorful. But they'll never
mm-hmm.
talk about Russell Simmons that way. Russell Simmons cussed like a doggone, like he ain't got no sense. But they're not going to ever talk about black people like that. Yeah, he cursed a lot, but he was just colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway,
right.
There you have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So on that note, I didn't mean to even talk about him today. Wasn't thinking about it. Want to remind everybody, you listen to Esri Net News. We are going to be back. I know we ran a lot in overtime, and I am keeping the commish on the show and extended the show, but, you know,
I guess we
need to stop doing that.
anytime.
So any last final words that you'd like to shout out before we go out?
Summer is still here. I bet people don't even say it's almost over. No, summer's still here. Hang on.
Summer's still here.
Hold on with a vice grip and enjoy the rest of August. I think we have a day left.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, because technically it's already midnight and it's the 31st. So you have 23 hours.
Yes, and
so
I do want to say
that.
I just want to shout out my dad. His birthday was the 27th of August, or the 26th, you know, in Jamaica back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really know your birthday. So we think it was either the 26th or the 28th of August.
God.
I'm not totally sure. But I do want to shout out my dad. Yeah, he passed away.
He was
He
said I was there, but I was a little disoriented, so I don't know what day it was.
That's right. I'm not really sure what day
it was. I think it was a Friday. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, you know, shout out to Kathleen's father. Happy birthday. And the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson's birthday was a couple of days ago. And, you know, I have no final words, but I'll just say tune in again next week for more news. Kathleen and I will try to be a little less complimentary to John McCain. I don't think we were, but we probably won't talk about him. Next week is all Aretha all day. There we have it.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Well,
thanks,
we'll see you again next week. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
Next week.